I want you to turn your Bible this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been studying this book on Wednesday evening, but something here I want to look at very carefully today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Verse number 5 for our text this morning. And here the word of the Lord declares, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know not ye own selves that how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." Father, thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble and worship and praise you. We thank you this morning, Lord, that you've sent your Son to be our Savior. We are thankful today, dear God, that you give us the opportunity to receive him as our Lord and our Savior. And we ask you this morning now, Lord, as we present thy word, that the Holy Spirit might take it and use it in the hearts and the lives of our hearers today. Do what needs to be done in each of our lives, and we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. One day this past week, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but there was a picture and a headline on the front page of the paper that said, "Destroying Counterfeit Goods." And the Attorney General's office had confiscated about, I believe they said, $750,000 worth of counterfeit goods. And they were making and destroying them so that they could not be sold again. As I thought about that today, and I thought about those false products and the fake products that people had bought and been deceived by, that we could find also today that one day this might be the headline at the Great White Throne Judgment. And today I'd like for you to think with me about authentic or fake. Many people today have a false hope. I'm glad the Christian has a blessed hope. But many today are enjoying and entertaining in their lives a false hope. That is a hope that's based on a false premise, a hope that will never stand the times and the storms of life. A hope that's not based upon biblical and scriptural foundations. And the only hope that will last and the only hope that will survive and the only hope today that we really have is based upon what God tells us in his word. Vance Havner, that wonderful preacher of yesteryear, who had a unique way with words, once said, "A lot of people in churches have been starched and ironed, but they've never been washed." Paul Washer, a missionary and evangelist of today, preaches a sermon about the false Christian, and it angers many because he goes through the scripture and shows the difference today of what many are calling Christianity and what true biblical Christianity is today. And he asked these questions, "How do you know that you're saved?" And he said nearly every instance that he asked that question, somebody will say, "Because I have believed." And he'll say, "How do you know that you believed? And what do you believe this morning?" Well, Paul tells us here in our text today that we are to examine ourselves. We are to prove ourselves. We're to put ourselves to the test this morning. And that requires a very painful thing today because it requires a self-examination. Most of us today would rather use some binoculars or a microscope or a magnifying glass and look at the lives of our neighbors and our friends and others that we come in contact with. And we wouldn't mind examining them. We wouldn't mind today taking a look at their lives and putting it under the magnifying glass. But when it comes to the point today that we have to examine ourselves and we have to find our flaws and our faults today, it becomes a very painful thing, to say the least. But today we need to use a mirror. Paul said we need to have a self-examination. We need to look at ourselves and prove ourselves and put ourselves to the test this morning. I read that, I think of the old farmer who acquired a mirror and he'd never seen one before. And as he would take that mirror and he would look at himself in that mirror, and he didn't want anybody else to know that he possessed such a prized possession, and so he kept it hid in the barn. His wife became suspicious of him because she'd see him sneaking out to the barn and then heading out. And so one day she followed him out the barn and looked through the crack in the wall, and so he went and got the mirror out and looked at it, and boy, he had a big time and a big face smile on his face, and he left, and as soon as he got out of sight, she ran in and dug out the mirror and pulled it out and looked at it, and she said, "Well, that's the ugly girl he's been going out with." You see, we can look at others today, but when we look at ourselves in the mirror, sometimes the picture's not as pretty as we'd like for it to be. But Paul says we need to examine, take a look at ourselves, and he says, whether you be in the faith. What he's saying today, you need to examine yourselves and make sure that you're ready to meet God. Make sure this morning that your life is lined up with what the Scripture says this morning. Make sure of your own selves. Prove your own selves today. What is your testimony? I already asked you this morning, what is your testimony? How do you know that you're saved today? How do you know that one day that you're going to see that wonderful place we sang about a moment ago called heaven? And certainly today heaven's going to shine. Certainly today heaven's a wonderful and glorious place reserved for those who have found salvation through Jesus Christ this morning. What a wonderful and great and godly hope that we have today. But how do you know that you're going there? Several years ago, I was talking to a man, and he did not attend church, and I was talking to him one evening, and I said, well, do you not want to go to heaven? Oh, he said, I'm going to heaven. I said, well, how do you know that you're going to heaven? How do you know that you're saved? And he looked at me, and he said, well, you know, I was thinking about this one time, and he said, over the night, I woke up, and as I woke up, I looked out the mirror, out the window, and I saw a real bright light, and I knew that I was saved. I said, well, sir, I'm going to be honest with you today. I'd hate for that to be my testimony, because it's neither biblical nor is it scriptural today. The Bible teaches us today that there's biblical, scriptural salvation, and today that we can know that we're saved, we can know that we are a child of God, we can know our destination, we can know where we're going to the moment we leave this walk of life. As Paul would say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And what a glorious and wonderful hope that we have today. I was reading this week about some of the pitfalls and the security measures they're trying to put into churches. And nothing wrong with that, because I was reading about the pastor who was shot during a Sunday morning service when the man simply walked up the aisle, took a gun, pulled it out, and shot him in the head. You know, we never know when something's going to happen today, when suddenly we're going to die. I read in the paper today about a man down in Florida who today was holding hostages in an apartment complex and was shooting out the window and killed a man who was getting off work and just parking his car and got out of his car, and one of the bullets hit him and killed him. We never know when we're going to step into eternity. We never know when God's going to call us home. We never know when that last breath we take will come. But one day we'll all take that last breath. One day we'll take that step into into eternity. And when we take that step into eternity, how do you know where your eternal destination is? How do you know that you're saved and born again and you're going to see that wonderful place called heaven? Well, the Bible tells us many things today, but I want you to listen very carefully today how that you can know and you can determine whether you're fake or authentic this morning. Hearing the gospel. Now listen to me. Hearing the gospel. We have to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we hear the gospel. We hear it, first of all, with our ears. But it doesn't stop at our ears. Then it goes down into our mind. And then the gospel goes through our ears, into our mind, and then it goes down into our heart, and into our soul this morning. Now we often hear and we know that the gospel means good news. I'm glad today the gospel is good news, but now listen to me real carefully. It also contains bad news. You see, the gospel is good news, but it's also bad news. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. How in the world can that be? Well, you see, the gospel tells us about the death, the crucifixion. It tells us about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us today about his virgin birth. It tells us today about him living a virtuous and sinless life. It tells the story and the record of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world and of his death upon the cross of Calvary, being crucified there for the sins of the world. It tells us about his being buried in a borrowed tomb and as he lays in the ground 3 days and three nights. Then it tells us about the glorious resurrection when he comes out of the grave through the power of God and lives forevermore that we might live also. But the gospel today is not just the story of the crucifixion. It's not just the story today of Jesus coming into this world. It's the story today and the condemnation of all humanity. You see, without sin, if there was no sin today, if there was no judgment this morning, if there was no hell, then Jesus need not to have come. We don't hear a lot about sin. We don't hear a lot about judgment. We don't hear hardly anything about hell anymore. But now listen to me today. Sin is real, judgment is real, and hell is just as real as heaven is today. We sing about the wonderful place called heaven, and I love to hear the songs about heaven. I loved that song a moment ago that thrills my heart and brings joy to my heart today. But now listen to me very carefully. Hell is just as real as heaven. The eternal punishment of God is just as real today as the eternal joys of the child of God. And every sinner that goes into this, goes into eternity without being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, having those sins forgiven today, is going to spend an eternity in hell. And the condemnation and the torment of hell is just as real and just as great as is the joy and the pleasures of heaven today. You see, Jesus would not have had to come without hell and judgment and sin this morning. But he came and he lived and he died and he was buried. And thank God he rose again and he did that to give life to the sinner. You see, he was passed and we can pass from death unto life. I guess probably the best known verse in all of the Bible is found in the third chapter of the Gospel of John. There the Lord Jesus, as he's speaking unto Nicodemus and as he tells them about God so loving the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's a great and wonderful verse today. That tells us of God's love for humanity. That tells us of Jesus' love for humanity. That tells us today of God's desire that every individual be saved. But Jesus doesn't stop at the end of that verse. The Bible doesn't end at John 3:16. You see, Jesus said in verse number 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world." Jesus didn't come to be the condemner. Jesus didn't come to be the individual that would condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You're already under the sentence of condemnation. A man, a woman, a boy, a girl, they come into this world today as a little baby. And as they come in as a little baby, we find this morning they have what's called original sin. They're born with a sin nature. Of course, little babies are covered. I'm not going to get into that. But I want you to understand they're under the condemnation of God. They're sentenced to an eternity in hell because this morning they are condemned before God. And it doesn't matter how wonderful or how great they are. It doesn't matter how sweet or how mean. It doesn't matter where they live or where they don't live. This morning, an individual without Jesus Christ is condemned. They're guilty before God. They're headed as straight to hell this morning as a marten to a gourd. They're as lost as a ball in high weeds this morning. And when that final breath comes and they take that step through the doorway of time into eternity, they're going to wind up to spend the rest of their days tormented in the lake of fire. That's a horrible, horrible thing today. You see, the Bible tells us that we're guilty and lost sinners before a righteous and a holy God. All of our self-righteousness, all of our goodness, all of our sweetness, all of our today is before God as filthy rags. We're standing in the presence of a holy, righteous God. And we're standing there as condemned sinners, unclean before God this morning. That's part of the gospel. Don't hear a lot about that today, do you? You don't hear a lot about how that God is condemned today. You don't hear a lot about the judgment of God. You don't hear a lot about the sin that we've committed. But that's part of the gospel. You're condemned. But Jesus didn't come to condemn you. Jesus came to save you. And if you hadn't been condemned, he wouldn't have had to come. You see, God loved you. And he sent his Son to be the Savior. He sent his Son to go to a place called Calvary, to lay down on an old rugged cross, have nails driven through his hands and his feet, to be held up as a mockery for all the world to see. And he did that because he loved you. And he gave his Son to be the propitiation for your sins. You're a sinner. You're condemned. It should have been you nailed to the cross. It should have been me nailed to the cross. But Jesus said, "I'll take your place. I'll die for your sins." That's God's love for you. You see, when that begins to penetrate down into your heart and your soul, and you realize that you're guilty, you realize today that you're condemned and you're headed straight to hell. And if your next breath was your last, you would hit hell like a Ford V8, wide open as a lot gate. I want to tell you, that begins to terrify you. It's a terrifying thing today to stand before a righteous, holy God in your sin and to know that God has now condemned you. And if I die before I take this next breath, it's all over. It's gone. I'll never have another opportunity. It'll terrify you. It'll scare you to death. I want to tell you this morning, it's the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to me. When I realized I was standing before God, lost and undone without God or His Son, that if I died without Christ, I'd spend eternity in hell with no hope and no chance. Terrifying. You see, that's when the Holy Spirit takes that gospel. Boy, He begins to prod and prick, and He just keeps goading and goading and goading, convicting you in your heart, convincing you and showing you your state before a holy God. You finally will get to the point. You're going to have to say, Lord, as a Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die condemned. I don't want this morning to spend eternity separated from your presence in the lake of fire. What can I do? God says, repent and believe. You see, there has to be repentance toward God. That's demanded. It's not optional this morning. You see, we are demanded by, the Bible said, God commandeth men everywhere to repent. Repentance today is demanded, and it's repentance toward God. You see, we sometimes have worldly repentance, but I'm talking about this morning godly repentance. I won't try to explain it as carefully as I can and as quickly as I can, but in Psalms 51, you listen to what David says. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. For your sin will be ever before you. It'll be showing you what you really are. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Dear God, I sinned. I'm a sinner before you. And it wasn't your fault, God, it was mine. My wife didn't cause me to do it. My husband didn't cause me to do it. My friends didn't cause me to do it. The school teachers didn't cause me to do it. The politicians didn't cause me to do it. I'm a sinner. I'm responsible. I'm the guy. This is me. And God, I repent. God, I repent. Repentance toward God. It was my old lustly, fleshly, sinful nature, God, and I repent. And I put my faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, trusting in Him. You see, it's a lot more this morning than saying a little simple prayer. It's a lot more than just simply inviting Jesus into your heart. It comes when you stand before this God, condemned as a sinner, and you say, Lord, oh God, that's me. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. but I want Jesus. And you see Jesus dying for your sins, and you cling to His cross, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you thank God this morning for the eternal shed blood of the Lamb of God. Oh, let me tell you today, a lot of people have done a lot of things today, but they've never had repentance today. You see, it comes as a cry of despair and desperation. You see yourself about to slip into hell. You begin to cry out, save me, Jesus, save me. Thank God through the eternities you hear Jesus saying, welcome home. Listen to me this morning. False or authentic? Examine yourself. Do you have real biblical salvation? Several years ago, I had a man that began to attend the church I was pastoring at the time, and as he began to attend, I had went to visit him, and his sister told me before I went, she said, I'm afraid for you to go. She said, that's my brother, and he's real mean. I'm afraid that he'll hurt you. Well, I prayed to the Lord. I went, and it didn't seem like he was even going to talk to me. Didn't even act like he was interested. The next Sunday, they drove up at church. And he began to attend real regularly. One day, he called me and said, can you come talk to me? I said, sure. He said, you know, I came to church, and he said, I quit cussing. He said, I went home, and the next Sunday you preached, said you can quit cussing, you'll still go to hell. He said, I quit smoking. And he said, you said you can quit smoking, you'll still go to hell. And he went through this whole list. And he said, I started reading the Bible every day. And he said, then I come and you say, you can read the Bible every day and you'll still go to hell. He said, what have I got to do? I don't want to go to hell. I told him about Jesus, and he accepted the Lord as his Savior. And I know this morning that it was authentic because there were some other things that happened down through the years. But listen, because we see a light, because we felt better, because we shook a preacher's hand, because we signed a card, because of this, that, or the other, the only way you'll ever be saved is when you hear the gospel. What penetrates down into your heart, and the Holy Ghost of God won't let you go. And you cry out, dear God, I'm a sinner. I need saving, and I can't save myself. Save me, dear Jesus. That's when authentic Christianity begins, folks. That's what Paul is telling this church at Corinth. Accept Jesus Christ, you'll be a reprobate. Examine yourself. Are you false or are you authentic? Have you been saved by the blood of the Lamb and washed from your sins? As Vance Havner said, many have been starched and ironed, but some have never been washed. Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple gospel message and use it this morning. Let it penetrate into the hearts and lives of our hearers. Let us make sure we're authentic and not false. In Jesus' name, amen.